Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Imagine you drive your nice car, you park it outside the ballpark, and it gets bipped.
Oh, I hope that didn't happen over the weekend. As the Giants take 2 out of 3 out of the Sox. And our guy Jermaine Wiggins is probably upset about that. Rafi Devers going yard over the weekend. Big story, though, probably for most people nationally. Oklahoma City Thunder are your 2025 NBA champs. They win Game 7, 103-91. Unfortunately, a big takeaway from that is not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's amazing season, although you can talk about that. Unfortunately, Tyrese Halliburton apparently tearing his Achilles, but it looks like hasn't been confirmed, but they're just calling it an Achilles injury as he missed basically the entire game after leaving the first quarter. Pacers are their best player and thus lose the series there. We're going to be joined by Nick Friedell here in just a moment, our Odyssey NBA insiders, and say good morning to Joe Shasky, Sam Lubin, Zach, all you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for the week. It is a beautiful day here in the Bay. And also, Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket. So a lot to discuss this weekend, Joe. Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, KD going to the Rockets is just, I mean, there's so many things. Like the KD Warrior angle will just never go away from me. For me, you know, for others, they might be over.
You still want him, don't you? You'll always, I can't quit you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll always want him to, you know, find a way to finish his career here. But there's the other element of like, dude, should have never left. Mm-hmm. I understand why he did. Believe me, I understand his prerogatives and his perspectives are vastly different from my own, but should have never left. And it sucks to see an all-time great bounce around the way that he has. Yeah. That definitely, I don't know. You think of a career a certain way, and a lot of the old timer, you know, careers, like they stayed with one team for 15 years, or right, maybe they split time between two teams or whatever. I mean, he's been on a zillion teams.
Well, hell, if you go back to the Supersonics as a separate entity, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 technically teams he would have played for if he does suit up.
Six.
It's pretty crazy for a guy of his caliber.
Six.
It doesn't happen.
How many for Kyrie?
Well, let's go through it. Cleveland.
Yep.
Boston.
Uh-huh.
Brooklyn.
And then Dallas, right?
Yeah, 4.
Only 4. Wow.
Only. But that's a lot.
No, I know. I know. And then James Harden has been on a bunch. It's just wild. I mean, it really is.
Speaking about a guy who's bounced around, but we'd love to have him back here as well, in a not a Golden State Warriors uniform, but a 95.7 The Game uniform. It's one Nick Friedell who joins us.
Take you for a ride on a slow bus to China down there.
Where in the world is
the sexiest voice in all of sports media, Nick Friedell?
Nick has this rugged masculinity that all of us at ESPN are jealous of.
I don't know about friend of the program because I think you're lumping me in with being a friend of Friedell, and I don't want to be associated with all that.
Thank you, Nick, and your voice is very deep and sexy. I have
to say. What you
gonna do, brother, yeah, exactly, when Mac Jones is coming for you?
How would you describe the level of hope that everyone else spoke with yesterday in regards to what James Wiseman brought?
How would I? What are they talking about regarding Wiseman and like the impact he can make this season?
Yeah, just how much the.
Obviously, you can't predict the future, and we'll see what happens this summer. But would you be willing to take less money?
Bro, I'm not answering your questions no more. I'm sorry. Next question.
Some call him Kelly Oubre or Kyrie Irving's favorite media member. We just call him a friend of the family here. Nick Friedell joins us now on the River Islands guest line. He's our Odyssey NBA insider. And insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. That open always puts a smile on my face. Good morning to Nick Friedell. And Nick, I'm going to ask you this point blank right here. What was the biggest takeaway for you yesterday? I'm going to give you three options to choose from. Was it the Thunder winning the NBA Finals? Was it Kevin Durant heading to the Houston Rockets? Or was it Tyrese Halliburton's injury? Good morning. Wow, I stumped him. There he is. Oh, Nick, we got you now. Rewind it. Go again.
Hit the button, baby. Let's go. Spadone, Mr. Shasky, how we doing?
What's up, buddy?
I would say, as far as the ramifications for next season, I actually would probably lean towards the KD trade. And Spadone, as you guys were going through everything that Kevin has done and all the different places he's bounced around, specific to the question, what's interesting to me is, can you imagine being Kevin yesterday in that he gets traded, at least if the news breaks, while he's up at that festival in New York City, and it's happening live and in front of everybody, and then you fast forward, you know, 6-7 hours, and he's watching Halliburton deal with the exact same thing, injury-wise, that he dealt with in the finals from a few years back in Toronto. And then to cap it all off, the Thunder, the team that he's most known for being with all those years, they finally win their first title. So it's always an interesting day around KD in that orbit, but I think yesterday would have been right at the top of any day we've seen because of all the different ways in which the events hit him. But as far as that deal goes, I think the Rockets got a lot better. They got the guy they needed to go to late in games. And I know the conversation around Kevin, especially after the Phoenix trade and their inability to play with any consistency, has kind of shifted, and people think, can he really make that big of a difference at this age? I still think he can. I think people are way too down on him given where his talent level is still at. And if you put him around a group of younger guys who are trying to find their way, I think it's a really solid addition, because I think it will only revitalize him day to day in playing not only at the same high level he always does, but in being the kind of difference maker that he still can be for a really good team.
Okay, so they make that move, and you know, in some way you've got KD, Şengün, Thompson, it's a heck of a trio. And then you look at what OKC pulled off, having an unbelievable regular season, going through the gauntlet in the West, and now they're the champs. Where does that leave the Golden State Warriors as you look at those two teams? And you have to assume there's going to be other movement. But today, how do you view the Warriors, and what do you think they need to do here?
Joe, I think they're really good if they can stay healthy, as we know, who knows at this point, with Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy at the ages and the wear and tear they've dealt with through all those extra playoff years on their body, the Warriors are going to make another move, another couple moves, of course. And it remains to be seen exactly who those guys are, what happens with Kuminga, all the storylines you guys go through day to day. But where I am hesitant to make any definitive call on the Warriors right now is because I know Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob, once that trade deadline rolls around in the middle of next year, we're going to be sitting here talking about, all right, well, what happens? And is there a star, one more star that they can acquire to kind of piece together with what they've got now? I still think they have a puncher's chance to win one more, because I still believe in Steph at the level that he's playing at right now. I still believe in Jimmy being able to show something different than what he did at the end of that Minnesota series, because, guys, I think we'd all agree, after he took that fall in Houston, he just wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. His body just wasn't moving the way that we're used to seeing him. So in my mind, as I look at the Warriors, you take OKC certainly ahead of them, and maybe Denver, depending on what they do around Jokic. But I still think they have a chance, and that was the whole reason to make that Jimmy move, to give yourself one more chance. But I think this is the year coming. This is the moment. If they don't do it this year, then the door is probably shut.
Ooh, so you got them down to this year. All right, so this offseason, like, are any of these likely? Are any of these scenarios, like Giannis, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, I mean, is that where they should be shopping right now? Like, or is that just completely unrealistic?
I think there's always some semblance of a chance, Mr. Shesky, when you have Steph. He is the ultimate magnet of guys who you're always going to say, oh, well, I'd love to play with Steph. So in that regard, I don't think you can ever just shut it all down and say, oh, I don't think there's any chance whatsoever. I think a lot of it is very unlikely, and I'm cracking up thinking of the idea that here we go again talking about Bradley Beal 5-6 years later, because he was the guy that we talked about for all those years. Oh, can they get Bradley Beal? Is he the difference maker? I don't think he's the same player he was when we were having those conversations originally. But with any of those guys, if you have the chance to play with Steph Curry, that's always something that's going to kind of sit in your mind. And if you're the Warriors, do I think it's realistic with Giannis? I don't. But if you're Giannis down the line and you're saying, hey, I've loved Milwaukee, but I want to win, do you say to the Bucks, do whatever it takes to make this happen? I think the Warriors are going to look a lot like the Warriors we saw at the end of last year. That's what happens when you trade for Jimmy and you give him that extension, and the money is where the money is. But the idea that they shouldn't even think about adding somebody of that tier on that level, I don't think that's the way they should go, because they still have Steph Curry, and Steph is still playing at an incredibly high level. I don't know how much longer that level can stay the way that it is, because he's at the age that he's at, but anybody in the league wants to play with him, because you know that you're not only playing with a superstar for the ages, you're playing in an organization that will pay what it takes to try and win year after year.
Talking to Nick Fidel here on The Morning Roast, as Insider Calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Nick Fidel, our Odyssey NBA Sports Insider. And Nick, is there a team we're not talking about right now when it comes to, like, who's going to be wheeling and dealing this offseason? I didn't see the Orlando Magic making that deal for Desmond Bane. Like, that was kind of crazy. Like, I understood it from their perspective. They need a young player, a guy who can score, ball handler. I actually love the deal. Maybe they gave up a lot in hindsight, but you know what? They're going for it at least. And now in an East with Halliburton's injury, that kind of looks wide open with Celtics and Tatum's injury. So they're going for it. Is there a team we're not talking about that could be wheeling and dealing this offseason?
I mean, Spadone, I would have said the Magic prior to the Bane deal, and now it looks like they're moving in. I mean, I know the Timberwolves have some assets that they could turn around. I go back to what is going to happen in Denver, because they were supposed to be the team a couple years ago after they won. I mean, that's always kind of what happens, guys. Oh, man, how long can this go? Oh, the Nuggets have Jokic, and they have Murray. Oh, how many titles can they win? Oh, the Celtics finally won. Well, Tatum and Brown in that core, they can win and win and win. Now today we're talking about the Thunder. Oh, my gosh, SGA, Sam Presti has all those picks. We'll see. But I go back to Denver, and I think Jokic, to me, is still the very best player in the game. If you have the right pieces around him and you get not only your coach and your front office settled, but you put the pieces around that group that already knows that it has not only the ability to do it, but the confidence of having done it. That's the team I still keep an eye on, because I think Jokic, because he's so quiet and he doesn't want the media attention, people just kind of forget. That dude is incredible. I mean, they almost beat the Thunder with everything else going on in that organization this year. So I don't know how many moves that they're going to make in the next few weeks. But, Joe, as I look at where they're at, I sit there and go, everybody better keep an eye on that team, because if you find the right piece that keeps everything moving and Jokic is still the player that he has shown to be these last few years, everything looks pretty wide open there. But I'm with you on a broader note about the East, because I can't remember a time where it has been this wide open going into a new year.
Speaking of wheeling and dealing, there are reports. They're all like internet reports, so I don't know how real they are. But, oh, the Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga could settle on some sort of a multi-year $30 million a year deal, somewhere in the $60 to $90 million range. If you had to guess today, is Jonathan Kuminga on this team come November 1st? And are they better if he's on this team, or are they worse if he's on this team?
Oof, if I had to guess, I would guess that he would be on the team somehow. I say that, Joe, because we've been talking about Kuminga for the last few years, and it's always like, well, what about this deal? What about this deal? What about including him for this? And the Warriors have shown time and again that they're going to stick with him. And it's very clear that Joe Lacob really likes him. And when you have that kind of backing, well, it's tough to move on from if you've got a young player that you believe is going to get a lot better. Are they better or worse if they keep him moving forward? I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder. As I watch Kuminga from a distance, just don't think he fits in the structure. It's what you guys discuss on a daily basis. But when I watch the style of the way the Warriors want to play, and I think, all right, are they going to be able to bring the best out of him? And is he going to be able to bring the best out of them and Steph and the rest of that group? I really don't see the fit. It's why consistently for the last couple of years I've been saying I would have moved to
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kuminga and gotten back other pieces to either push with towards trying to win a new title or getting somebody else in place of whatever you got back asset-wise. But because of the contract, because of what could happen here in the next few months, it makes it a lot more intriguing. I just don't believe that Kuminga and the Warriors are ever going to get the most out of what each other wants in the relationship. And that's why, if it were me, if I were Mike Dunleavy, I would probably make that move this summer. But it's easy to say that it's a lot harder to actually make a deal that works where you think you're getting the value you want for a young asset that is clearly valued in different spots around the league.
Talking with Nick Fidel here on the Morning Roast, our Odyssey NBA Sports Insider. One more for you, Nick. We appreciate the time. What did you make of the Haliburton injury, playing through the calf strain? A lot's been made about all the Achilles injuries that have happened this season, playoffs and regular season combined, five players now with devastating Achilles injuries. Does the NBA have a workload problem, or was this just an unfortunate season when it came to the stars getting hurt?
I think they have to go back and really look at the numbers, Spadone, because if it's happening over and over and over again, and it is just way too much now, there is some kind of issue. Are guys not getting the rest they need? Are they not playing the same minutes that they might have played in years past prior to all this rest and load management stuff that has become prevalent around the league? As I watched Haliburton last night, though, what made me sad on top of his short-term future is immediately you go from talking about a Pacers team that was the talk of the NBA, and they had earned so much respect for the way they played, and then all of a sudden, boom, the window's gone. It's over. And the Warriors lived it with KD. There are plenty of other teams. The Celtics obviously are living it with Tatum right now. That is a very difficult injury to come back from. You can. I think modern medicine has allowed and shown that guys can do it. But when you're that young and you suffer that kind of injury, it is a real struggle not only for the player himself, but the organization. And that's why I don't know what the answer is. The NBA doesn't have the answer either, but they have got to find a way for their best players to be out there on the floor. And for as much credit as Haliburton will get till the end of time for trying to be out there, the much larger issue is how much it can change everything, not only for the team, but for the league in the blink of an eye. So nobody has the clear-cut answer, but if you're the NBA, you've got to study different ways to find a way to make sure that guys do not suffer these kind of catastrophic injuries, because there's no way there's not some sort of correlation because of how many different times it's happened now in the last couple seasons.
Nick, I actually lied. I have one more question for you.
Hit me.
So now that the Pacers, probably not going to win a title without their best player next year, Celtics, no Tatum, probably not going to win a title next year. Like, if Giannis is the big guy this offseason, like, if I'm him, I'm looking at the East all of a sudden like, maybe I should just stay here, right? Why would I want to go to a Western Conference team? Is that looking too much into it?
I don't think it's looking too much into it, Spadone, because if I'm Giannis, I'm thinking the same thing. The problem, though, is, and this ties into everything we're talking about, Lillard's hurt. The Bucks' chances, they're done. They're just not going to win. Somebody has to come out of the East. And as we saw, the Raptors-Warriors series is a perfect example of that. From a few years ago, KD gets hurt, Clay gets hurt, the Raptors find a way with Kawhi, and they win. And when you win forever, and that's what everybody will remember. But specific to Giannis, he has to decide this summer, is it really about winning and trying to add more titles, or is it about staying in one place? If it's about staying in one place, great, more power to them. But the Bucks are not good enough to get close to another title anytime soon. The money is where it is. Lillard's injury factors into all of it. And on top of the fact that Giannis is getting older, like everybody does. So if I'm him and I want to win, 100% I stay in the East, because the East is wide open. And if you put Giannis on one of those East teams, immediately they become a favorite because – he's still that good. But as usual in the NBA, the much larger issue is actually trying to find a deal that works for everybody involved. My much larger issue, guys, as we close it down here, is like all we're talking about in the league always is who's going to move to the next team and what's going to happen that's going to create some kind of runway for another team to get to a different place. And the focus is just never on the games anymore. And Spadoni, we're talking about injuries and what does the league have to look at so that these injuries don't continue to pop up the way they do. They've got to find some way to put the focus back on the games night to night. In San Francisco and in the Bay, people are into the games because of Steph. Same thing LeBron in L.A. with the Lakers. But night to night across the league, people just don't care about the average regular season game anymore. And I think that is a huge problem that they've got to put under some kind of control and get an answer to, because all we talk about in the discourse around the NBA is where is the next star going to play the next time they get a chance to move somewhere. And that takes away from still how good of a level these games can be night to night.
Hey, Nick, great stuff. We greatly appreciate it. And he says, folks, puncher's chance for the Dubs next year. Would it be the double bonus title? Is that what we're dubbing it, Nick?
The 1-1, and they made the first free throw. Absolutely. I like it.
1-1. I love that. Nick, good stuff. We'll do it again sometime soon, man. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
All right, you got it, guys. Have a good one.
There he goes. Yeah. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Biggest takeaway real quick before we hit the break, Joe, from Nick Friedell.
He's 100% correct. In this market, we discuss games, right? But in most of the other markets that have the NBA, they don't discuss the games, and it's about the transactions. And I thought that it was almost sadly poetic that the day that OKC finally wins the championship, Haliburton goes down and KD's traded. Two things that don't have anything to do with the games.
And star power matters, as we found out over the weekend in San Francisco, because the Giants' new star had his first home run. Rafi Devers against his... You couldn't have drawn it up any better. Rafi Devers goes yard against his old team that he won a World Series with. Oh, that's what dreams are made of. Let's discuss it on the other side, because you were at the game on Friday.
Something happened while I was going to the game Friday night, and I'm excited to explain it on the other side.
Ooh, and that's going to be brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see. All rights reserved.
I don't like sand. It's coarse, rough, and irritating, and it gets everywhere.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast, and we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey.
What's up, Larry June? What's up, Anakin Skywalker? I'm with Anakin. You know, that drop came to fruition, yes, from Attack of the Clones, episode 2 from Star Wars, but also from This or That a few weeks ago. And what is This or That? Well, it's just the greatest segment in the history of sports talk radio. It's an hour from now at 9:30, and it's, as it says, This or That. So from that drop, I was like, I'm more of a pool guy than a beach guy, because I hate sand. So there you go. This or That. Could be sports related, could be non-sports related. An hour from now, we will divulge what it is. Sam Lubman, Zach, Crackstaff in the back, they're getting on it. It's huge. I wonder what it's going to be. Joe, is it going to be Giants related as they take 2 out of 3 against the Boston Red Sox? We were calling it a revenge series of sorts for Rafi Devers. Obviously, just within a week's time of being a Giant, he's facing off against his former team. A lot of toxicity there. It was well documented. We had, I feel like, every single Boston media personality on our airwaves last week. We had this guy calling from their Fox Channel affiliate. Who? What was his name? Butch?
Butch Stearns.
Butch Stearns. Not Butcher Boy, but Butch Stearns joined Bonte and I. And really good stuff. And he was talking about it. And I guess Rafi Devers speaks better English than we all think.
Oh, he absolutely does.
Yeah, okay, so Sam tells us that now, too. Kind of has that Ichiro thing going on. Doesn't want to be lost in translation, still speaks through a translator, which is fine. But you were at the game Friday, Joe. And I just want to ask, what was the vibe like of that? I know Red Sox fans, I saw it all weekend on the telecast. They took over, if you will. I saw a lot of red in that outfield. What were the vibes like in that game on Friday night?
Immaculate.
Yeah.
Going into the game, just traffic in every direction was completely jam-packed. But seeing the city just so vibrant around the stadium, I really got pre-COVID feels about the city being alive. Now, does the city still have some things going on regarding homelessness, affordable living, cost of living? Like, we've got a lot of negative things. I'm not here to say that every situation has been solved.
Real quick, I'll let you continue that. That's going to be going on for the rest of our lives, people, in every major city. That's just always going to be it. There's always going to be something happening. Continue.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're far from perfect, but the vibe around the city was unbelievable. It was a windy night, and there were people from all over the place. The place was absolutely packed. Absolutely packed. And it was a great night. And yes, the Red Sox and their fans came out in full force. There were tons of them. But there's one thing that came through to me definitely was very clear. Friday night, Rafael Devers is not Barry Bonds. That's not what I'm saying. He's not even Buster Posey yet in terms of how the fan base reacts to him. But in terms of, oh my God, he hit the on-deck circle, I better finish drinking whatever I'm drinking, eating whatever I'm eating, buying whatever I'm buying, and I better be in front of my seat or in the club level. I have to turn around. The second Rafi Devers comes out of that dugout and gets into that on-deck circle, you're like, I can't miss his at-bat. I can't remember a player like that since Bonds. Now, at times, Posey gave you some of those feels, but this is different. This guy's trying to go yard on every single swing. And I would say to him, Rafi, take a little off the swing, doggy. Take a little off. Be a little more selective. And I think he will as time goes on. I'm sure, similar to like a wedding day, you say this to people when they're getting married, hey, it's a blur. It's a blur to you. You know, you're never even going to be able to fully process your wedding day because so many things are happening so fast. When you get traded to the Giants and have to go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and you get thrust right into a game, and you play a three-game set against the team from the Central, and then, boom, all of a sudden, the team that you were on for the last 8 years is now playing you in the new ballpark. It's a complete blur.
Right.
So he gets a day off. He gets to kind of take a deep breath, and I think that's very important for him because I thought that during this weekend, he was in blackout mode. He was swinging at everything. He was trying to, like, earn the whole 8-year contract all in one swing. He was trying to shove it to the Red Sox. There were so many elements happening all at once. But he's a ball player.
Yeah.
And this guy is a force with the bat in his hands. There's no doubt about it. He hit a ball on Friday night that I thought could have been a home run if it weren't for the swirling winds that were going on Friday night. At the what's the guy, Rafaela, made a hell of a catch at the fence. They clearly, the Red Sox, scouted our entire pitching staff for whatever trade they were consummating between the Giants and the Red Sox, because they were on Birdsong like no other team I've seen. They were waiting on the junk, and then they were hitting everything hard the other way. They were pulling balls. Rafaela was dynamic Friday night. They were on our entire staff all weekend long. But Devers is a beast, and that was a great weekend for the Giants to kind of bounce back because they should have taken advantage Friday night.
What's funny was I immediately thought of that home run. Had it been in Boston, that's what, a double? Hell,
if
it
hit, the wall.
It might be like a long single. You never know with the way he's running.
Sure.
And by the way, with the way he's running because of a groin injury that we've learned about over the weekend, he's been dealing with the last couple weeks. So they're taking their time, Joe, when it comes to Devers at first base. A lot of people were wondering last week, is he going to make his debut at first base over the weekend? Well, they're taking it very slow because he is dealing with a groin injury. And yeah, let's start him in a whole new position with an injury. Now, let's take a step back here. Play DH for right now. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, he is pressing a little bit. He is swinging for the fences every single time out there. I think, obviously, a little more juice in this series in particular because it is his former team and he wanted to stick it to
a little more juice?
No, it's a lot more. Yes, he wanted to stick it to his team the entire weekend. And that home run, I felt like, and for a lot of Giants fans, they felt the same way. And I want to ask you, he officially became a Giant, if you will.
Against no doubt.
Team, right?
I was hoping that he would go yard off Chapman in the ninth inning on Friday night. But, and then Chapman talking smack.
Who are you, dude?
Wilmer Flores. Well, he's a very good player. He was also an awful human being off the field.
This is like his first year as a Red Sox, bro. Like, you've been here for a couple months.
You're a Yankee. But of all the people to yell at, Wilmer Flores? Bizarre.
Very odd.
It was bizarre. Anyway, the Giants have a second base problem. I mean, there's just no other way around it. They also have a center field problem. Like right now, Jung Ho Lee, when you go to the games, and for anyone that's been to a bunch of games this year, you've probably seen it more than me. They play the third baseman at the shortstop position, and the shortstop plays almost directly behind second base when Jung Ho Lee is batting. Mm. They are daring Jung Ho Lee to hit anything on the ground down the third baseline. Just a little chopper. Could be a bunt, could be anything. He's got to put the ball down the other way. Jung Ho Lee is driving me nuts right now. Absolutely driving me nuts right now. And I'm of the belief right now the Giants have three positions that are up for grabs, whether that means internally or externally. Catcher, second base, center field. Now, I know... Don't even do that.
Maybe he needs that.
Defensively, he's been good. Defensively, he's been good, Jung Ho Lee. Offensively, he has been scuffling. And it's how the at-bats look. Swinging to try to pull everything. Like lunging forward while he's swinging. Like we have a legitimate Jung Ho Lee issue simultaneously. Second base is a huge hole right now. And whether it's Casey Schmidt, who's on fire at third base. Someone's going to have to take that spot.
As you just mentioned, Casey Schmidt, real quick. Four hits yesterday. Three runs scored, an RBI,
the
jack.
400 in the last week and a half.
That's just been incredible.
I'm really happy for him.
It's really good to see, right? And he's getting his opportunity and making the most of it and could potentially, as you're talking about second base, when Chapman comes back, could second base be in his future staying there? That's kind of in a perfect scenario, right? That would be the guy to take over.
Sorry, you guys want to hear what Casey Schmidt had to say about playing second base?
I certainly would, Sam.
I mean, I played a lot of second. I played a lot of all over throughout my time here. I'm just focused on, I'm focused on Tuesday. And I'm not focused on, anything else. Just focused on going out Tuesday and getting ready to win.
His swing looks so good.
I loved how confident he sounded. I was almost like mimicking how I thought he was looking. I was like, yeah, dude, I can play anywhere you want me to. But that's the confidence of a guy that has a great glove who truly believes I can play over there. I don't see any confident second baseman on this team right now. That's what you need is that
Friday
confidence.
Friday night. Okay. Christian Koss. So,
did you take a little guy, by the way, or no?
No. Okay. No, it was just me and JP Money. Great seats.
Nice. Where are we at?
Club level 205.
Excuse me.
First row.
That's right. Nice.
I mean, row A, there's so much leg room. It's incredible.
I was worried about your shoulder because obviously we had to do the pitching change.
Yeah.
We had Bonte to take over for you. You okay? You good?
I'm great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then I had whatever the Mexican food place is up top. Where they do nachos with a helmet.
Oh, love a nacho helmet.
But I had the carne asada. It was the mission style burrito or whatever. It was unbelievable.
You got the guac on there, the jalapenos, the sour cream, all of it.
Okay. I ate a whole thing of Cracker Jacks. I enjoyed the
Cracker Jacks? Wow, what are you, 10 years old?
Cracker Jacks are excellent. What are we talking about?
Cracker Jacks since I was like 10. Did you get a ring in there too? What'd you get?
Well, no, there's like a sticker or something.
Oh, okay. The prizes aren't that great in the Cracker Jacks.
Not anymore. Your fingers get very
sticky.
Yeah. So you
gotta have the wet wipes.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the dad in you, Joe.
Wipe
come on.
Me down.
That might be, please. Yeah. Save that.
Thank a little boosy.
Yeah. Thank you. Young gravy.
I go to the game and they get bases loaded. Nobody out. And I'm saying, all right, hit the ball hard somewhere. And Koss did hit it hard somewhere. Right to the second baseman for a double play.
He did.
Then, and they score a run. I don't even know. Is it you don't get an RBI for that when you ground into a double
correct.
Play?
Yeah.
That's kind of weak,
scores no RBI.
Though. That's kind of weak.
What do you mean kind of weak?
Like, I brought him over. I brought him over. Give me the RBI.
You swung the bat, and swinging that bat led to a run coming in. Yes. That run was batted in. Sure, it was batted in as a result of two outs that completely killed the momentum of the inning and all of our joy, but there's still a run that was batted in.
Like, if I'm a fantasy player, that pisses me off. That could have been the difference between me winning this week and me losing.
Well, if you're playing Christian Koss in fantasy, you're not good.
Listen, there's a lot of struggles right now. All right, there's a lot of struggles right now.
So then he comes up again, bases loaded, and does the same thing, but I think to the shortstop. And then
third base.
Oh, was it third base? It was third base. Okay. Then later on, there's a play at second base, and he just whiffs it. Look, Christian, you might be a great guy. You are right now, unplayable. No, I'm dead serious. And Fitzgerald's not much better right now.
Well, that's
they've got a second base problem.
Well, I'm scared all of a sudden, Joe, as the Giants win this series. Like, you're telling me, like, three positions are up for grabs? That doesn't give me a lot of confidence heading into the rest of the year,
but it's
though.
Baseball. So at any given time, you're going to have two or three guys scuffling. Like, you're not all humming all at once. You're just not. It's a game of failure, yes. Right? So if the greatest players of all time were, you know, 300 average, that means you're out 7 out of 10 times.
I know. Yes, thank
so
you.
So you, at any given time, you're going to have two or three guys that just ain't hitting right now. And right now, it's catcher. And then, like, oh, my gosh. Jungle Lee airmails the throw coming home. Wilmer is supposed to be the cutoff. He's nowhere to be found. Bailey comes flying up the first base line, and then he just throws the ball into center field. I mean, Friday night they should have won that game. I thought defensively and then those situational at-bats with the bases loaded and no outs cost them Friday night's game. They should have swept this series.
They could have. They could have also just lost the series. Absolutely. 3-2 the final on Saturday. It was a close one, and obviously you were alluding to
Duvall made it closer than it needed to be on Saturday.
Absolutely. And Aroldis Chapman going at Wilmer Flores over the weekend. That whole thing was very odd, and you mentioned it earlier. Here was Wilmer Flores talking about that little back and forth.
Does that mean about the pitch clock correlation or something like that?
I guess. I don't know.
But the umpire called it. You didn't call it. Bailey.
No, I didn't.
No. That was an umpire's call. What kind of beef would you have with you?
I don't know. That's why I try to ask. I don't know. That's why I try to ask him if he said something, because I don't know.
You think he said something to you while you were at play or while you were running?
While I was running the goal set, yeah.
And he sounded angry.
I did?
You know he did. Did he?
Yeah, that's why I asked what was going on. I try to ask him and let me know. See what happened.
Hey, glad we could clear that up.
So that was Wilmer Flores on Friday. Obviously, Aroldis Chapman was assessed a pitch clock violation. And I guess that happens because the pitcher couldn't make eye contact with Wilmer.
The whole thing was bizarre.
The whole thing was very weird to me. Right?
And when you're at the game, you don't know what's going on. And so, yeah, it was
I didn't know
odd.
What was going on. I was watching on the TV, kind of. I was like, what is happening right
the
now?
The other thing I would say, and I say the same thing to the NBA, and I say the same thing to the NFL, show us the replays.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm if you're going to charge people to go to games and you're going to make the in-game experience something so expensive and you got to be there, you've got to make it equal and show us the replays. I don't care if the officials on the field are a little insecure that their call might be wrong. It's the big leagues, all right? If I'm paying big money to spend money to park and spend money to eat and spend money to go to the game, show me the replays. Show me the replays. You've got to make the in-game experience on par with the on-the-couch experience at home. I have to see the replays. I have to know what's going on.
So Cora talked about Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, and quote, the rule says you have to be in the box and alert. You have to make eye contact with the pitcher. Chappie was ready, and it seemed like Wilmer had his head down, and at one, his head was down with 5 seconds remaining on the pitch clock, and then he goes into this whole diatribe. I don't need to recap the entire thing, but it was just an odd thing. Wanted to clear that up because a lot of people, like myself and yourself being at the game, was very confused about that whole thing. The only loss of the weekend, though, was that Friday night loss. Of course, the one you go to, Joe. Come on, dude. What are you now? What's your record at Oracle Park this year for the Giants?
What is it? 1-2?
Oh, boy.
I don't know. 1-2. One and two.
What's your record, Sam? You've been to a lot of them.
I need a minute to kind of tell.
Oh boy!
That.
All right.
Or maybe I'm 2-2.
In the meantime,
four. 2-2.
The biggest story of this weekend, we talked about it all week, was Rafael Devers playing against his former team. I want to hear from the opposition. I want to hear from Bob Melvin. I want to hear from everyone who had sound this weekend. Shout out Sam Lubman for being there. Steven Rizzotto. They were 95.7 was well represented.
Sam didn't even hit me up Friday night.
Did you want him to?
Yeah, I told him, come on by.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I did have a lot of running around. I had to do pregame between the Giants clubhouse, Bob, Cora, Red Sox clubhouse. So, unfortunately, I had to do reporter stuff.
You couldn't come by during the game? And
I'm locked in.
Is all this sound courtesy of you on my board?
It is.
Courtesy
of you. Wow. slamming Sammy Lubman.
I was getting you sound ready for your show, Joe. Unfortunately, I couldn't come hang out with you. So.
Well, I heard you over the weekend, by the way. Great job with Dan Devone, Orange and Black
Rubbing
Weekend
elbows
Wrap.
With Boston Red Sox media.
Well, or with Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, who talked about it with Sam Lubman this past weekend on Facing Devers. Let's take a listen.
No, it's awkward. You know, this happened 5 days ago. And the guy, you know, what he did since 2017 when he got called up all the way to the last game against New York, he produced, you know, and you look at the list of, you know, homers in the franchise, 500 extra base hits, the World Series ring. There's a lot of stuff that Rafi did for us that we're going to miss, and we're very proud of him. So to face him here, it's going to be different from my end. You know, it's a night game. It's a day game, you know, and we get out, you know, and he's going to keep doing his thing over here. You know, this is a tough division with a lot of ex-teammates, right? So somebody has to win. But from my end, you know, I appreciate everything he did for us, everything he did for me. And but like I always said, this is a weekend. We have to get him out. We're prepared for that, and he's prepared for that, well, obviously, to do the opposite.
Awkward. I love that first thing said. It's awkward. Like, it just is.
Well, I noticed that the fan base, when he made an out in that game, the Red Sox fans went crazy.
Oh, they loved it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Friday night, they were going crazy when he made an out.
And well, I thought they joined in the ovation when he came up to the plate in the first inning.
No, I would agree.
Too. Yeah.
But so, then when he made an out,
they loved it in the ninth thing. That was 100%. The loudest they were all night long.
100%. And the other aspect that I noticed is that the Red Sox fans, there's no love loss whatsoever. I mean, he is a hated man from here on out for the remainder of his life.
Of his life or career?
No. I mean, like baseball life. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like baseball
thank life. You. I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, he's, yeah. I want to ask you about, like, the media, the Boston media going at Devers, Sam. Are they more aggressive than our media when it comes to, like, the direct questions?
I didn't notice anything too overly direct. Unfortunately, I didn't get to the presser that he had with them on Friday. I didn't even know that was happening until after.
Gotcha.
But as far as what I saw up close, I can't really say that they were that much more aggressive than other media.
One thing that I did notice with the Red Sox, and, you know, they're supposed to be very analytically driven, very like what the Giants were, you know, during the Kapler era. There's two guys that stand on the end of the dugout the entire game when they're on defense, and two different guys are like sending out signals on where
like
to position yourself, literally pitch to pitch. What?
Like a defensive coordinator almost?
Yeah, but yes, but like almost pitch to pitch. Like I was kind of blown away how much movement there was in between pitches for their entire defensive rotations. Almost like they knew locations and types of pitches that they were going to go to. I thought it was a little much. And I think if I was an old school like player, like, you know, I get it, but back off me a little.
Ryan, Craig Breslow now, the you know, the head honcho over there, the president of baseball operations for Boston. Who did he learn off under? Theo Epstein, a guy that was, you know, the second coming of one Billy Bean, right? But a guy that had more money, and that was kind of the conversation last week from a lot of Boston people that were pissed. It's like, man, you just did a money ball move, but you're the Boston Red Sox. You're not the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
So you got rid of all that money for Kyle Harrison, Tibbs, Jordan Hicks, really? So I thought that was just a huge win over a series win for the Giants when they desperately needed one, and to do it against that squad for your guy now, who's your future star for the next 5, 6, 7 years, however long you want him, and Rafi Devers. All things considered, Joe, I do think that was the most important series win of the season. Like, that was, they needed to stop the bleeding. They did that. They needed to step up for their guy. He's their guy now. Like, he's officially a Giant. That is your guy. You need to step up for him this weekend. And listen, he didn't have a great series. He had the home run, but I think overall he 0 for 5 on Friday with you? He wasn't very good. Looked like he was pressing, right? Clearly, there's a lot of emotions heading into it. It's awkward, as his former manager, Alex Cora, said. But for them to pick him up, for the Casey Schmitz of the world, for the Elliot Ramoses of the world, for them to do that, I thought it was huge. Thought it was massive.
Well,
for the culture of this team going forward, too.
No question, the culture. And galvanizing around Devers, I think, is extremely important early on in his Giants infancy. Mike Ostrzemski's on fire right now.
He is.
No, like, he's playing really good baseball right now.
Against his grandpa's former team,
yeah.
Right? There's something there. Another home run, 3 home runs in total against the Red Sox in his career. It's pretty cool.
And then, they need Chapman back in the worst way. They really do. And it's not necessarily about third base production. It's about, like, moving Schmidt over to second while he's hot and getting Chapman back in the lineup. Ramos is an adventure defensively. I mean, my God, this guy made an unbelievable diving catch over the weekend and then made one of the worst plays that I've ever seen yesterday. You want to talk about pendulum? I mean, that guy is from one end of the spectrum, like makes an elite defensive play, and then in the very next game, just an unbelievably atrocious play off the glove. Like, fourth grade type stuff.
Was that the first inning, too, right? Yeah, that. Yeah.
I think it was a Roman Anthony play. Was that the Roman Anthony, like line drive? I mean, he's got to catch that. There's no way around it.
Bailey had a bad throw.
Went all Rube Baker out
Bailey
there.
Had multiple bad throws. Like, right again, I'm going to keep saying it. Right now, like, second base is a spot that's up for grabs. I think catcher is up for grabs. Like, I really do. I think it's Bailey by default right now, but I think they could be searching the waiver wire. They could be searching the trade deadline acquisition. I mean, I think they're going to draft three of them. I really do. I think they're going to draft three guys here coming up, three separate catchers.
More catchers. I just have to laugh at the absurdity of investing all this into catchers, the Joey Barrs, the Patrick Baileys, and they still can't find that guy. When you had one of the greatest catchers of your generation, obviously in the front office now, one Buster Posey. It's crazy, right?
No,
it just
this is real. And
I know.
Center field.
Look at Cal Raleigh. Why not?
I'm also open to having a discussion about center field. Jung-Hoo Lee has got to step it up. Mm. Offensively, defensively, he's fine. He's fine defensively. But offensively, you know, you look at that contract, it's going to start to balloon. I just wonder if he's a Buster guy long term. Like, is Buster married to him?
Mm.
I wonder.
Well, because, again, as you alluded to, it was a Farhan signing, right? And we see this all the time in what?
Every sport.
Well, any NFL, for sure. Yeah,
for
you
sure.
You get the new people, and it's like, I don't care. I'm going to cut this guy. Like, Sean Payton had a year of Russ. He's like, I'm not married to him. He brought me in to fix this stuff, right?
I agree.
See ya. Deuces. And he's already made his imprint on this organization, Buster Posey, in a big way with the Devers trade. And, yeah, this offseason, there's going to be even more things to point to Buster Posey because, as we have learned, he wants his imprint and he wants his fingerprints all over this organization. And 888-957-9570, what was the biggest takeaway overall this series for you? Was it just them winning the series? Was it Devers finally becoming a giant for you? Did he finally become a giant in your eyes?
Look, this is not going to be...
finally. I mean, he's been there for a week. It sounds like he's been here for months. So let me calm down there for a
This is going to sound like a non-sportsy, you know, it's all about winning and losing take. Okay, so just bear with me on this one. My biggest takeaway was that Giants fandom is back.
Mm.
And the connection to the community is back. That stadium over the weekend was popping. And you can say, oh, it's the Red Sox. It's been that way for a couple of weeks now.
Honestly, Joe, that was the first time watching that series this weekend where I kind of had FOMO.
Oh,
I was
like, wanted to go.
I was like,
really?
I'm kind of upset I'm not there right now.
When was the last time you felt that way?
Years, right? No, seriously, back to like 2016,
Joe,
probably.
Saturday, watching, went up to the cabin, and Saturday I'm watching on the couch, and I'm like, I should have went to today's game. Like, right. That's how I felt.
Then right.
Yesterday was beautiful. We had a party that we had to go to. It was beautiful, and I'm like, they're scoring runs. Guys are sliding into home. We're throwing guys out over the weekend. And, you know, they if that was any other week, well, they would have lost that game. Yep. But they bailed out Robbie Ray, who didn't have his best stuff yesterday.
That's a conversation, too. Robbie Ray is kind of the last few starts here, those last three in particular.
I'll get to the sports part.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm just saying, the Giants fans as a whole feel like they're really embracing this team. And I do feel like there's a movement going on right now. And some are late to the party. Some have yet to jump on. Some are already there. Like, loving the team and the connection to the team and feeling optimistic about just saying the name. Giants baseball. I think it's the most optimistic Q rating I can remember, approval rating, in 5 or 6 years.
888-957-9570. I would love for here. To hear from the people that went to the game over the weekend. Who was there? The vibes, were they immaculate, as Chasky puts them?
They were.
I felt it through the TV that, like, Giants baseball is officially back.
Right?
That's what it felt like over the weekend. No, like, that was the opponent, Devers, all of it, the weather. There was like 50 kayaks in McCovey Cove yesterday. Do you see that? The splash hit? It's like 50 of them.
I know.
When's the last time you saw that? seriously. Like,
oh, the other thing I saw, speaking of which.
Oh, no.
At the game Friday night, I seen little babies with no socks on.
Oh, no.
You know how cold and windy it was out there?
You got to put the socks on.
I wanted to go buy these people some socks for the kid.
That's rookie parent behavior. You need to check that.
Hypothermia. It was so windy.
Head And you'll learn this, Sam. Head and the feet, you need
have got to be covered
up at all times.
If you're going to bring a baby to the stadium, bring a blankie, buy a blankie. I'll buy you one.
It's not even the kid. Like 5, 6, 7 year olds. I got like the 3 and the 5 year old. Like, no, they need to be beanies at all these things. Whether it was at Coliseum games, whether it's over here at Oregon, like, you need to have the headgear, right? That's my PSA. That's my one thing.
There were grown adults on Friday night walking around with like shorts and a t-shirt. It's just, what the heck is wrong with you, dude?
You're crazy. Just absolutely insane.
Now, I am one of those guys that wears the flip-flops and shorts during wintertime, so I'm not going to fully back off.
You were that kid in middle school?
Well, you guys saw me with the old building.
Such a SoCal
look. Well, when we had the old building, when we were excommunicated from the rest of the salespeople, we could wear whatever we wanted. We also didn't have air conditioning in our studio, so that was part of it. I would wear the Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops and shorts, would I not, Joe, every single day? I would. It was a vibe.
Now, look at your puppies every day. It was awful.
Speaking of vibes.
I keep my feet manicured.
The Jung Hoo Lee, because like in Friday night, I was like, whoa. I drove by. I parked at 3032, whatever that, right next to Reds. And I'm saying to myself, like, wow, the amount of people on the street right now, this is pre-COVID. I don't even remember the Dodgers. I was at all three of the Dodgers series games in 2021. They weren't as crazy around the stadium as what it was Friday. I'm not even trying to be hyperbolic. I'm being dead serious because we were still coming out of COVID. It was insane Friday night. But yesterday, I saw the lines for the Jung Hoo Lee sweatshirt. Oh my goodness. It was unreal.
Did they give away? Hold on. This is the most important thing because everyone's mad at the Hello Kitty thing because they didn't have enough.
I'm with everybody on this. You got to give out 45,000 of them. You can't just give out 20.
How many was it yesterday?
I think it was the first 15,000.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's
stupid.
I'm walking to the ballpark because they make us media park in Lot A. So I'm walking from Lot A over and I see a line that.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.